Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
We are privileged to be church planters in Mexico. Our desire is to start churches where there is not a Bible preaching church, and then to reach people that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before, and then make disciples who make disciples and who can make disciples. So someone can be saved, baptized, learn the doctrines of the Bible, and then that person can pass it on and see someone saved, teach that person what it means to be baptized, and teach that person the doctrines of the Bible, and so on and so on. We are about to see a six-minute video, kind of the work in Mexico. I say kind of because we made it the video with you in mind, to encourage you in your giving and your praying for missions. You've been supporting us for 14 years, and you're about to hear testimonies in Spanish, and if you don't know Spanish, you'll read what they say in English as it's translated. But you're about to hear testimonies of people who are thankful to you for giving and praying for missions. And these are real testimonies. They're happy, they're glad that you gave, so we as missionaries and other missionaries can go around the world. So this video was made with you in mind to encourage you, and I hope that it will this evening. Just a little history. 12 years ago, we were able to start Iglesia Bautista Libertad, and 2 years ago, give that over to Cesar Lopez and his family as national. That's our desire, to start churches and give them over to national pastors. And one day, Lord willing, there'll be no more Americans there, no more American money. It'll all be run by the nationals themselves. 2 years ago, in October, we'll be celebrating a year of the church plant in Jala being started. I mentioned that Jala is known for its witchcraft, and I'll give a little illustration about how much it is known for its witchcraft and wizards here in the sermon. But we are honored by the Lord to be sent there, and we are currently working on that in that church. And then the two churches are working together. At the end of the video, you saw a very smiley, friendly family. They're up in the mountains, and then where all the kids are saying thank you for giving the missions, that's up in the mountains where there was a church plant, but from Satan's attacks, and the Lord had it this way that church is not there now. But after months of discouragement, the Lord encouraged our hearts, and a family opened the door to try to reestablish a church up there in the mountains. And so as you think about praying for us specifically there in Mexico, and if I can find my prayer card, I will show you this and ask that you get our prayer card and you remember to pray for us. If your children are somewhere running around, let them get a prayer card, please. If you and your wife or you and your husband, whatever, both want a prayer card, please get one. The more prayers, the better. And this just has a picture of us and on the back some information, and you'll see Experience Liberty on there. So please get one since you're our sending church. And you can put it wherever you want, on your fridge, in your Bible, anywhere else, and we'd appreciate your prayers. They're in the back, our display board's back here. If you're parked out here, I would be extremely honored if you just ran back there and got a prayer card or two before you left. I know you just want to head that way, but we'd be very honored if you would head back there. And some things to pray about for us in Mexico. You can always pray for our safety. You can pray for our Spanish. You can pray for people to be saved, baptized, and discipled. And then specifically as you think about the church up in the mountains, Brother Neil said it true. We started three churches, but now there's only two. And so that third work needs prayers. As we go up there Sunday evenings, the two churches that are established have a service Sunday evening up in the mountains to see people saved and baptized and discipled up there in the mountains. If you'd open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 this evening, Matthew chapter 4, and after the service, my wife and I, I'd say my kids, but they'll be running around. Our kids love Liberty Baptist Church, get to run around. So probably just my wife and I will be back there at the mission board. Please come back if you have any questions about the work in Mexico and to get the prayer card, please. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 through 22, we will be looking at this evening. And as I hope that video encouraged you, as those people's testimonies were genuine, they are thankful for your prayers and support, and we are too, as missionaries sent out of the church. And this evening, for the message, my desire is to encourage you in your walk with Jesus, specifically with missions in mind, by looking at 3 points. We'll be looking at praying, we'll be looking at giving, and we'll be looking at fishing for the souls of men. Sometimes in life, we all get discouraged. And sometimes maybe after you make a promise on faith promise and you see missionaries and you pray for missionaries, you wonder, what does your giving really do? Besides that step of faith where you're giving, does it really impact souls for Christ? And this evening, I want to encourage you that yes, your giving and your prayers impact souls for Christ. While door knocking one Saturday morning in Ixtlan del Rio, Elizabeth and I met a lady named Emma. Emma was a Jehovah's Witness, so she didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God. But Emma invited us into her house to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We shared with her the gospel of Jesus Christ. She did not get saved, but she invited us back to her house to go through a 6-week study that actually Elizabeth went through with her. And Emma received Jesus Christ as her Savior. She believed that, yes, Jesus is God. He died on the cross for my sins. He arose again from the grave. And believing only in Him for salvation is their salvation. Emma was saved. And Emma went through discipleship. And Emma and some of her children are in the church in Ixtlan at this time. After knowing Emma for a year or two, Emma told us this story. One time after her children had gone to church, her neighbor said to Emma, "Why are you letting your children go to that church where the Americans are?" "Because the priest told us those two Americans are there to steal the children and to take their organs out of their bodies and to sell the organs." That's amazing to hear that. It's crazy to hear that. But that's a spiritual attack against people who are trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with children who think they can win their way to heaven. And so I want to encourage you this evening by looking at these 3 points, praying, giving, and fishing for the souls of men, that we can do together as a team missions for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and then we'll look at those 3 points. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be here this evening. Lord, I thank you for the teamwork that we have to reach souls for you. Lord, there's people in Las Vegas, there's people in Mexico that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't even know they need that. Sometimes they're hard to it. Sometimes they're more open to it. Sometimes they're ready. But Lord, use us to share your truth with those who need it. I pray, Lord, that you encourage our hearts this evening, that we'd be encouraged in your word through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'd receive what you'd have for us this evening. Help me to preach with clear words and the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us not just to be hearers of your word, but doers of your word, which we cannot do on our own. We need the Holy Spirit, so we ask you to be with us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Let's read there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." If you don't mind, we'll stop there real quickly before we look at those 3 points. Right here, if you look into the Word of God, you'll never see where Jesus says, "Follow me, and you will be saved." Or the disciples ever preached, "Follow me, and you will go to heaven." The Bible makes clear that following the Bible or doing good works is different than believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When a man had a question for disciples, "How can I be saved?" the disciples said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." So in America, I believe there is a popular teaching now that if you follow Jesus the best you can, maybe you'll get to heaven. And the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because we are sinners. Jesus Christ, God Himself, died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He arose. He was seen by hundreds. If you go to this church, you hear that every time pastor preaches, and that's good. Amen. And that's how we're saved, by believing in Jesus Christ. Amen. You saw Joel, the testimony of Joel. Joel is a very large man, and he's not just large, he's a very strong man. And if you saw the picture of him being baptized in the river, you could tell I was having a little difficulty taking him down and bringing him back up. And Joel, I didn't know him too long before he was saved, but Joel told me he was known in town, and his wife told me too, told us also, he was known for getting in fights. And he would go to the chicken fights. Don't be mad at him for that. If you love free-roaming chickens, I apologize. I believe he doesn't do this anymore. But he would go to the chicken fights, and he would drink and get drunk, and he would be in fights himself. Not with the chickens, but with the men, right? And one time, Joel was at our house, and we have a punching bag. We had a punching bag, and Joel kicked that punching bag. And when he kicked that bag, I thought, I'm going to never make that man mad. I mean, he is a strong man. Joel thought he was saved. I believe that testimony was there in the video, because he started making some decisions in his life. He started reading the Bible, and he thought that was being saved, because he started doing some good works, or what he actually would think was he was following Jesus. He was reading the Bible. He was drinking less. He was fighting less. And we met Joel and Rosario while we were door knocking one Saturday morning. We shared the gospel with them, and we invited them to church the next morning. They came the next morning, and then they opened their house for us to go more and share the gospel with them. And Joel realized that just doing a couple more good works was not going to get into heaven, and repented of his sins and believed in Jesus Christ as a Savior. And they are faithful members in the church in Ixtlan. And salvation is not following Jesus Christ. Salvation is believing in him as our Savior, and then the good works follow after that. Look in verse 20. "And they straightway left their nets," there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, "and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." So 3 points this evening: praying, giving, and fishing for the souls of men and women, to encourage us specifically in with missions in mind. First, let's think about praying. Now, we mentioned that Halle is known for its witchcraft. You saw a picture up there of a drawing of a girl with her hands cut off. We actually have had a Bible study with a witch. She opened her house to us. She would invite her family to come to study the Bible, and her husband never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and after a couple months, they closed that door. But Hala is known for having what they consider good witches and what they consider bad witches, and knowing the Bible, we understand there's no such thing as good or bad. They're just all bad. And so in Tonio and Elizabeth, we met them door knocking. And they opened their house to us, and they said, please come back and study the Bible with us. And we've been studying the Bible with Tonio and Elizabeth many, many months and many weeks, and going through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Tonio and Elizabeth have not been saved yet. They have not made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe that they would understand it, but they haven't humbled themselves to accept them. And one reason is because of the spiritual attack against them. One time when they moved houses, we did not know where they lived. And so we went and asked their family, who we knew where they lived, where are Tony and Elizabeth? Where did they move? And they said, on so-and-so street. Well, we said, we don't know where that street is. And they said, and their family said this to us, well, they live by so-and-so wizard. They gave his name, and they said, the wizard. That's the town, that's the type of town Hala is. People just know the witches and the wizard, and that's where they go. And we said, well, we don't know the wizard. And so they explained better where we live. Tonio and Elizabeth actually live between a witch and a wizard on a small street. Antonio and Elizabeth, I believe, are very open to the gospel of Jesus Christ, but as the Bible would explain, Satan has blinded their eyes, and we are in a spiritual warfare. You are part of that spiritual warfare. You're praying for missions, and the souls of men is part of that spiritual warfare. And we have the victory through Jesus Christ. But the war is real. And Tonya and Elizabeth are in that war. And so are you, and so are us, for the souls of Tonya and Elizabeth. And so when you pray for us, and you get one of these, and you see us, and you put us on the fridge, or put this picture on your fridge, or in the Bible, you are praying for the souls of Tonya and Elizabeth. And it is a real battle for the souls of Tony and Elizabeth. They want us to come by their house to pick them up to go to church. They've been to church one time in many, many months. Because every time we go to pick them up, they're never there. And it's for different reasons. One time their daughter ran away, and they could not find their daughter all Sunday morning. Another time on Saturday or Friday, Elizabeth had to go to the hospital, and the nurse or doctor did something wrong, and she got air in her veins, and she had to be in the hospital for 3 more days or something like that. And another time, the son or the other daughter, they were sick, and it's something like that every week. And you could say, well, that's just natural. It is not. Maybe sometimes it is, but it's a spiritual attack. It's a spiritual attack, and your praying will impact the souls of Tony and Elizabeth. Your praying will impact souls for Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 8, we don't have to turn there, but in those chapters, it's when Moses is coming in front of Pharaoh saying, let my people go. And Pharaoh's heart is hardened. And God is sending down 10 miracles against Egypt. And if you remember, the first two miracles, the wizards of Pharaoh were able to do the same miracles. Moses puts his staff into the water turns into blood. Do you remember the wizards? They were able to turn the water into blood. Well, in Exodus chapter 8, we come to where God tells Moses to turn the dust will be turned into lice that will go all over Egypt. And Moses does that. And the wizards try to do that miracle, and they could not. And they tell Pharaoh, they use these words, it is the finger of God. Now, we understand the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible tells us what the wizards said. The wizards actually said it is the finger of God. Now, because they're wizards, we don't know if they knew that was the finger of God. They don't know God, and so we don't know if they knew that was the finger of God. But they did say it was the finger of God. Imagine those 10 great miracles that God did against Egypt and their gods if it was just the finger of God. Imagine if God would have done those 10 miracles with his hand. We're talking about God who might have used just one finger to do those great miracles against Egypt. We're talking about God who created everything out of just saying everything into existence in 6 days. The Bible says in Psalms many times, incline thine ear to me. It gives you this illustration here, that when you pray, God inclines his ear to you. And that's the God that you and I pray to. That's the God that when you pray for missionaries and you pray for people on the mission field, God inclines his ears to hear as you pray for the souls of people like Tony and Elizabeth. Not only do we pray for missions, but we give to missions. And my purpose this evening is not to persuade you to give more, but to talk about the joy of giving. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. Justin, are you glad you don't live in Mexico? Yeah. Are you glad that you live in Las Vegas in America? Okay. You're glad you don't live in Mongolia? You're glad you don't live in Australia? Maybe. England? Okay. But you're glad to be in Las Vegas. Justin gives joyfully in faith promise because he does not have to go to a foreign country. That's how it works. We're joyful to go to Mexico. Other missionaries are joyful to go to another country. Justin and all of you are joyful to give, so those people who are joyful can go and you can be joyful in not going. And that's a little funny, but that's how it works. And that's not unspiritual for you to be joyful not to have to go, because that's how God has worked it out and how we do it in our independent Baptist churches. You give so others who are joyful to go can go. And that's a great teamwork of working together and the joy of giving. And God uses your prayers and God uses your joyful giving to help people that you've seen this evening to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that might not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ if you wouldn't give, if you wouldn't pray. You saw the testimony of Juan. Juan was the gentleman in a t-shirt. He's the one that invited you all to our Sunday and Thursday evening service, and you are welcome. As we say in Mexico, nuestra casa es su casa, or we could say nuestra iglesia es su iglesia, but you are welcome to come. Drugs messed up the mind of Juan. Juan lived in Jala. He came to the United States, and he got into drugs, and he got into selling drugs. He was caught. He was jailed, and then, I'm guessing, and then he was taken back to Mexico, and he lives in Jala. Like I said, drugs have messed up the mind of Juan. Juan knows a little bit of English, and he knows Spanish. And for some reason, when he talks to Elizabeth and I, he always wants to practice his English. But because drugs has messed up his mind, his English is this way. One word of English, two words of Spanish. Two words of English, four words of Spanish. One word of English, one word of Spanish. And it's back and forth like that. And I can't understand Juan, and my wife can't understand, and sometimes we just need help in understanding Juan. I don't know scientifically if Juan can understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if a scientist would say, after studying Juan, all the drugs have messed him up so much, he has a mind of a so-and-so aged kid or whatever, and he can't understand the gospel. But in faith, we believe that someday Juan will understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your giving can impact someone like Juan, whose mind is messed up, who lives in a town that is known for witches and wizards, that did not have a church that was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your giving, your joyful giving, in giving to those who are happy to go, can help Juan understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we pray together, we joyfully give, and then we go as fishers of men and women. Look back there in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What's powerful about that verse is that Jesus Christ says, I will make you fishers of men. It's God's work. It's not our work. Just like a lot of us probably tried to work our way into heaven before we understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every other religion in the world teaches a good works salvation. And many of us, before we understood the gospel of Jesus Christ, we were doing our good works to hopefully win our way to heaven. But then we understood because someone loved us enough to give us a tract or to invite us to church where we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ or opened the Bible to explain to us the gospel of Jesus Christ. We understood that salvation is something that only God gives as a free gift to us because he paid the penalty for our sins. And in the same way, it's Jesus Christ that makes us fishers of men. It's not our own works. It's not our own strength. It's not our own education. It's not our own smarts. It's not our own way of doing things, whatever. It's Jesus Christ that works through us to make us fishers of men. Jose Luis is around 80, maybe 83, 84. Jose Luis is a Huichol. In Mexico, there's many different groups of Indians, and they would all have their different language. And some of them will know Spanish, and some of them won't know Spanish. But Jose Luis accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he lived up way in the mountains. And his village at the time, they would have spoken Huichol. And he understood the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And he told the missionary, I want to go back to my village and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went back. His village stoned him and left him for dead. Jose Luis was taken to the hospital. He recovered. Many of you know Debbie Melberg. The church has supported Kurt and Debbie for many years. Kurt went to heaven 12 years ago. And Debbie is still there in Mexico. Kurt was the missionary. Jose Luis said, I need to go back. And Kurt said, no, don't go back. They're going to stone you. And he said, no, I have to go back and share with them the gospel. Jose Luis went back. The second time, his village stoned him again. Now, in the mountains of Mexico, when we talk about a village, it's not just any old village. It would be his family. It probably was his mom and dad. It probably was his aunts and uncles. It probably was his brothers and sisters. It was his family who was stoning him. And they stoned him the second time, left him for dead. He went to the hospital, recovered, told Kurt, I have to go back and share with them the gospel. He said, you can't go back. They're going to stone you again. But he said, I have to go back. He went back the second time, and Debbie Melberg tells it this way. They saw him come the second time, and they thought, if this guy is so crazy to come back a third time after we stoned him two times, we might as well listen to what he has to say. And his family, his village, listened to him share the gospel, and many of them are saved. I had the privilege about 6 months ago to see Jose Luis as an older gentleman with six other Huichol men and one lady graduate as the first graduated class out of a Huichol Bible Institute that Kurt Melberg had trained two Mexican men who now are the pastors of that church, who those men had taken 5 years to teach these Huichol men and that lady in that Bible Institute. Those two Mexican men are now done with that because those Huichols will go out to their own people. And that's what Jesus talks about, or we're talking about this evening, what Jesus means here, and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Are you not glad for that? How many here actually accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior the first time you ever heard the gospel? First time you ever heard the gospel, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Most of us, it takes at least twice, more, many years. Some of you may have held on to idols. And here in America, the idol might not be a idol made of stone or an idol made of gold or an idol made of ivory. We see them a lot in Mexico. But here in America, that might not be the idol. The idol might be your own pride, our own pride here in America. Idol in America might be more money or our job or things like that, or own not wanting to turn and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. In Mexico, you heard the testimony of Raquel, who had to give up her love for Mary. In Mexico, many people have a statue of Mary, have a picture of Mary. And one thing that through a lot of prayer, we decided, and through counsel of other missionaries, that once someone got saved in Mexico, we would not tell them to take down their idols. We would not tell them to take down that picture of Mary or that idol of Mary or that idol of Jesus on the cross or him standing right there or whatever. Because we didn't want the people to say, when their friends and family would come over and say, hey, why are you in that American religion? Why are you studying the Bible? Why are you not worshiping Mary anymore? We did not want them to say, because the missionary, the American, told me to take it down. We didn't want them to say that. We wanted them to say, because from my own Bible reading, from my own understanding of the Bible, I understood that having an idol was wicked, and God has saved me from worshiping idols, and I have turned to Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering to usward? Look what it says in that verse, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means every single one of us, that means every person in our family, that means everyone around the world, Jesus would have them come to repentance and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And for 14 years, the Lord has allowed us the privilege, our family, to be teamed up with you and hundreds of other missionaries and missionary families, over 100 other missionary families that Liberty Baptist Church supports. And because of your praying, because of your giving, enjoy many times, and because of working together in fishing for the souls of men and women, there are many men and women and children around the world who have not only heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, but have repented of their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We do it together. Together, we are followers of Jesus Christ. And you're praying, and you're giving, and you're fishing for the souls of people is being used by God to see people saved, baptized, and discipled. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are long-suffering to us. Lord, we pray that you'd have mercy upon our family, our relatives, our neighbors, people here in Las Vegas and around the world, in Mexico, in Hala, that they would not just hear the word of God, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, but their eyes would be opened, their hearts would be tender, they would humble themselves to accept you as your Savior. Lord, work in our hearts to be a praying people, to be a giving people, and fishing for the souls of men and women. In Jesus' name we pray.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.